This is Believe in Buckeyes with Bryant Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. Camp is here. Football is back, and we back.
Football is back.
It's a song. Oh, I can't think of it.
And maybe we back. Jesus. And we back.
Yeah.
That's a Chance the Rapper, man.
Chance made
about five songs and just never made another.
never want to give, man. He'll be back soon or later. But we got a good show today. Camp has started for Ohio State. We're excited to kind of kick things off with this official. The season has officially started. We got a lot of competition, but we got to start off with business. Kick it off with the sponsor so we can get into
let's
this.
Let's shout out the sponsors. Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV as Bleav for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah. And if you have any issues with gambling, doing it too much, having some problems, reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER 24/7 line to help you out with there with your issues. But like we said, we came here today just talk about football, and obviously we want to get into some of the competition around Ohio State in this camp. Camp officially started on the 3rd, August 3rd. So they had their first practice today. And obviously first practice, you know, they even have helmets on, but, you know, little shorts, no real equipment.
Yeah.
But the competition is brewing. Obviously, it's going to make a fun camp because whenever there's competition, a lot of fun, especially when you're trying to figure out who is going to be QB1 between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown.
Yeah, and, you know, as a coach, you want to get most of your work done in the offseason. You don't want to go into camp with too many competitions. You got too many competitions that you really don't know. Like, who is, you know, it becomes getting really too close to the season to really have to juggle so many different competitions. But there's always a few there, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the quarterback position still isn't determined. So, you know, that's going to continue to be a competition. The defensive backs, there's a lot of defensive backs. I think we're really deep at the defensive backs positions. However, there's a few talented guys there, and there's some options for other guys to come in. And then the offensive line, man.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
We sent some guys to the NFL. I saw big DeJuan Jones in the
Hall of Fame game,
man. He's so big, moving around. I'm like, God, this had to be what Goliath looked like. You know?
Hey, you know I'm a Browns guy. I watch every Browns game. I watch the game, and, man, he looks the part, man. I mean, obviously, I feel like he might have been the steal of the draft. You know, before that, we was talking, in my mind, he might be a first-round guy. Like, I think, but I don't know. It seemed like it was some outside noise, so he kind of fed a little bit to the Browns in the fourth, and I was happy. And he looked it for. I mean, he went out there, I think, obviously, you know, preseason stats, right? I didn't watch every snap. But they start doing stats. Like, hey, you know, he had like 30, 35 passing situations. Didn't give him a single pressure. And I watched him. He looked the part, man.
The talk going into the draft was like, you know, this guy, this is how much he weighs. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the lightest he's ever going to be. He's probably, you know, for a guy that big, he carried his weight well. And I mean, I'm excited to see him, you know, continue to build his career. But to that point, great guys went into the NFL, right?
Yep.
And
so now we got competition. So we left our left tackle, first round draft pick, our right tackle, fourth round draft pick, our center, fifth round draft pick to the Browns. And shout out to Luke. He with the Browns as well. He played great, just real quick. But now we're in camp, and now we got competition. Because now as an offensive lineman, usually you don't rotate a bunch of guys. So when it comes down to it, you got to fill in places with people who essentially hasn't had that job on a consistent basis. So we got the biggest competition in my mind in this going into this is the right tackle position. So starting off today, day one, we're hearing reports that Zen Miglowski took the first team reps, did some rotating around, but he was the first one out. He's the oldest guy when it comes to this competition. He's a redshirt junior now, so that's 3-4 years in the program, so he's been around a while. You also have redshirt freshman Tegra Shabala, who's a redshirt freshman. So this is second year in the program. Big recruit out of the Cincinnati area. Looks the part. I mean, the guy looks fantastic. And then the third guy in this mix is a transfer. So he just transferred in after spring ball. Ohio State went out and got a guy, Josh Simmons, out of San Diego State University. So he's been playing out there. He had, if you're looking at playing experience, he by far has the most because he's coming off being the starter at the tackle position out there for San Diego State. And he has ties with our off-the-line coach who recruited him heavy out of high school. And he still landed up at San Diego State where I coached with at UCLA. But now on Ohio State, so, kind of looking for a guy and we got him in.
So give me help us figure this out, right? You're an offensive lineman. You're going into it. You know you're competing for a job. How do you go win the job at this point? Forget about that you had spring, you had offseason, you got the chance to impress the coaches with getting stronger and all that other stuff. But now it comes time to the season. It's not that far away. What can you do right now for a coach to be like, okay, that's our guy?
What you really want to do is an offensive lineman. Now, obviously, I had this type of competition before I locked in a starting spot at Ohio State. You really just want to show that you belong. And that's for every player on the field, but also linemen. You just want to feel like you're consistent. You get in the huddle. You understand the scheme of things. Because obviously, as an offensive line, it's a unit. So you have to understand the scheme of things. Everything makes sense. You understand where you fit in blocks. You understand where your help is at. You understand on a double team who you got. You understand that if it's a twist, because that happened a lot in the past, like if it's a twist, do I have help or do I just need to hold on to my guy and lock on from there? So you just want to show that you understand the playbook and you can go out there and just continue to execute day after day after day. A lot of times when it comes to offensive linemen, especially, you know, when we start to get to this level, you know, it might be a guy that's a little bit, look a little better. Might be taller than you, more ranger than you, more athletic. But when you're offensive lineman, it's about just being consistent. I understand what's going on. I can get out there and put myself in a position to help the team. And also, you know, keep people safe. You also allow people, you know, you make a mistake, you know, and people are getting, you know, getting their head taken off when it comes to quarterbacks, your running back. So if we know that when we put you out there, you're going to at least go in the right direction on a consistent basis. We know you're going in the right direction. Sometimes you're going to win. Sometimes you are going to lose. But if we get you going into the right direction, we know that that play has a chance to be successful. So as an offensive lineman, that's what you want to go out there and show, that you understand, you comprehend the offense, you understand how to talk to your, if you're a tackle, you can talk to your guard. If you're a center, I mean, that's, you got to talk to everybody. Basically, you out there making calls and dictating really how the play goes. So that's what you really want to do when you're in that position. Show that you're consistent, you understand. And coach, you don't, I'm not the guy that you're game planning around. You can game plan right. Game planning for the things that I cannot do or what I might do once we kind of actually get on the field.
So yeah, we're gonna talk a lot about these competitions. We're likely gonna talk a lot about the competition at quarterback ongoing over and over, right? Every day there's gonna be a new update on who won the day, right? But when it comes down to it, and you got a new quarterback coming in, you want to be able to shore up that offensive line as well, because it's like, man, you don't want to have a new quarterback still trying to figure out and have holes or gaps in the offensive line or guys not actually going the right way, going the right direction, blown, you know, blocks and stuff like that. So that's going to be hugely important, you know, given that a lot of these other positions at Ohio State are ready to roll, man, receivers, running backs, and all those other ones. So, yeah, that's going to be important, monitoring that.
It's very important. That's why I think if things get really tough when you bring in a transfer guy after spring. this guy's coming in right to fall camp, and you're looking at Josh Simmons out of San Diego State. Obviously, like I say, he has the most playing experience. So, when he has the most snaps. So, when he gets out there and the bullets get live, how they say, he's going to have the most experience in handling these type of situations. But, man, you're talking about Zinn, who's been in the program for 4 years, looking at the same playbook over and over and over. Same thing with Tegra, 2 years, looking at the same playbook over and over and over and kind of going through that same type of install. So, I mean, to me, it feels like it's definitely an uphill battle for him. But once again, they did bring him in as a transfer, out the transfer portal. So you got to get it. You would think you got to get this guy shot here. But, you know, it's tough to say. But like I say, to me, it's really an uphill battle for Simmons. But obviously, he looks the part. Definitely a great athlete, so we can see what he can do in camp and see if he can kind of help the team right away. We have some competition at the center position when we're looking at Carson Hintzman, redshirt freshman who took most of the first team reps here in the spring. As in Jacob James, who's a redshirt junior. He actually missed the spring due to injury, but he was considered number two center last season, playing behind Luke Weipler. And like I say, missed the spring due to injury, but obviously he's definitely in the mix right now. Hintzman and James are splitting first team reps here for the Buckeyes. As it also, I'm not going to call him a long shot, but we have Victor Cutler, who's also a transfer to the program, who was here in the spring and got some reps. But it looked like today, day one, obviously just day one, all the first team reps went to Hintzman and James, while Cutler kind of ran, I think, second and some third team as well.
This might be the most we talk about these guys, man. You know what I'm saying?
And then it's supposed to be some competition at left tackle, but it's really Josh Fryer's position to lose, to be frank. He's been at Ohio State for a while now. I think it's his fourth year. Last year, he kind of playing right left tackle. The year before that, he was out. But the year before that, he got a lot of, he played tackle as well for Ohio State in several positions. So, ton of experience. In the spring, he kind of held down that left tackle position, did it well. So, no worries for me here. So, technically, you know, it's not set in stone who's the left tackle, but like I say, most likely, bar injury or something, you know, random coming up, it would be Fryer's position. But now on the defense side of the ball, it's kind of a little bit different on the defense. Like the offense is just open. It seems like it's just open competition, right?
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
You know, just these guys are rotating. We're gonna let them play out. Now on the defense side of the ball, we pulling in some new guys, but Jim Knowles kind of came out, made a statement. And kind of say, like, look, this is what we're going to do as a defense, more or less. And then we kind of see how things go from there. But in that, and you can kind of speak to this. So, first off, he started the adjuster position. And for, let's call it standard football, I know Jim Doles run a little bit different defense, call stuff a little bit different stuff. But usually that free safety position, right now we have Jahad Carter in that position. He's a transfer out of Syracuse, been playing that position well for some years. You see big plays, pick sixes, things of that nature. So we got him in the transfer in that free safety adjuster position. Then we have the bandit position, which is more like a strong safety position. We have the returning starter, Lathan Ransom, in that position. And then in the nickel position, which is just kind of weird to say, but it's a nickel position, but it's kind of more like a linebacker position. This guy should probably be the first guy in the box. We have Sonny Styles in that position, who's going to a second year. Obviously, a big recruit out of the Columbus area, who's a big safety. I mean, he's a big guy. He's like one of those guys that you could just like, you know, he fits anywhere, right?
Right, type right.
of guy. And so you have him in that position. Then at the cornerback position, he mentioned day one starters to be Denzel Burke and Jordan Hancock. What's your thoughts on that? Anything pop out at you? Do you like Jim Knowles kind of going out there and throwing some guys in some spots? Or how do you feel?
Yeah, so none of it surprised me. I think if you go back to the spring ball, you had Hancock and Burke taking most of the first team reps. There was some rotation in there with Davidson, who they brought in from Ole Miss. When they brought in the safety from Syracuse, Jahad Carter, the expectation is he was going to replace Tanner McAllister, Ronnie Hickman. So it was just, you know, where were they actually going to put him? They got him at the free safety position. I think that's a comfortable position for him. Sonny Styles makes sense at that hybrid type linebacker, nickel, defensive back position, given that he has the size, but he also has the speed and athleticism to playing coverage and all those things. So in the spring, they had him at a free safety, but it was almost like, let's get him in there and we'll figure out where we want to put him. It makes sense for him to be in that position. I hope to see more corners on the field, though, you know, in certain passing specific downs where you're trying to get speed on speed and your best cover guys out there, you're trying to prevent a third and five, third and six or whatever. I would like to get some more of those corners. I think the cornerback room is a very deep room. They're young, but they're not like newly young. It's not like true freshman guys. These are guys who are here for at least a year. Davidson, second year player, freshman All-American at Ole Miss. You have Jair Brown, who got some reps last year, who's coming back for another year. You got some other guys. Jordan Hancock was actually out with injury. So he's a veteran guy as well. He's back. So I think they got a lot of guys at the defensive back position, a lot of guys at the corner. I'm expecting a lot from them. You know, I think last year they didn't live up to expectations. Denzel Burke, we find out after the year, Denzel Burke was hurt for pretty much most of the year, right? So he was challenged. Jordan Hancock was pretty much hurt last year, right? So these guys now get a chance to go out there with, you know, a couple years under their belt, you know, better prepared to go out there and show what they can do. And honestly, Jim Knowles, this is year two for Jim Knowles, right? The talent is there. Defensive back talent is there. Linebacker, you got two guys returning. Talent is for sure there. And the defensive lineman, I know we talk about, you always mention it, we talk about they missed on defense. This defensive lineman, we haven't had a Chase Young type player, a Joey Bosa type player. They got some guys on the D-line. They got some guys on the D-line that can get it done. So, yeah, I think what I see out there so far, I think that was expected. I think the one position to look at is that second corner position, whether it's Hancock, Davidson, Jair Brown coming in and playing some of that third type of corner position. I think there's going to be some more corners working their way into that starting lineup.
Yeah, but I want to go back to the intro of what you said about, you know, you would like to see a third corner get out there more often than a third safety. And let's be frank, like, you know, a lot of the we kind of talk about those, you know, what Ohio State last two games, right?
Yeah, Georgia
and Michigan, and, you know, a lot of the big plays that we gave up in those games, a lot of those big plays was against safeties, right? It would be a safety trying to guard this receiver. He's like kind of in this spot, and you know that essentially the offense kind of schemed it. They knew the defense was going to do. They knew they were going to put a safety, this third safety in this position. We're going to get one of our good guys on them and kind of take advantage of the cover skills there. So I'm definitely with you there. In my mind, you always, for cover safety purposes, you want to get more corners on the field because they're just, you know, more equipped to kind of handle some of those vertical threats down the field if you're looking at situations of that nature. So, yeah, I'm with you there. I feel like the defensive line will be fine. They definitely got some guys, JT, Hall Jr., definitely will be able to lead that bunch and be strong. Our linebackers are fantastic. So, you know, like you say, and the competition is really at that corner position, just making sure that everything kind of mends up and be that defense that I know we could be. You know, it's kind of
real quick on that defense. I think it's less about the talent on defense. I think for sure they got the talent there, and I also think it's important to have a good defense this year, given this transition of a new quarterback into the starting lineup and everything like that. I think it's really the coaches, man. Like, this is the year where we really get to see the growth of year one was Jim Knowles' first year implementing his defense, getting guys acclimated to it and all that stuff. This is year two. And year two, this is where you expect another step to be made, better understanding of the defense, better cohesiveness across the entire defense, some leaders that have emerged, a guy like Eichenberg and stuff can lead that defense. And, you know, those explosive plays that we saw last year, like, we should be able to eliminate that. You know what I'm saying? We should be able to eliminate that. Understanding the guys, coaches should better understand the guys that they have, right, and the tools that they have at their disposal and put guys in the right position. So this is a Jim Knowles year. You know, he got paid a lot of money to do what he's doing, right? And the expectation is fair expectations because he's been able to do it everywhere he's been at. So we expect it here. So this is definitely a coach's year. This camp is the opportunity to fine tune that defense, you know, better understand the guys. And they should be defensively, they should be rolling this year. Yeah, I don't expect nothing less than that for sure.
I agree. I believe that silver bullet defense should be back. Should be big plays made by that defense that leads to our offense. In my mind, I know it's, you know, we got these new quarterbacks. We should be able to run the ball. We got like four great running backs. Like, we should be able to run the ball and help out our off the line and just really just beat guys that way. And so when we want to, we start to show off what our quarterbacks could do and our outstanding wide receivers by getting the ball downfield. But we have to say this. I mean, we talked about it on our last show a few days ago here, but now it's official.
It's official.
The Big Ten is growing to, what is this, like 16? Eight, I think it's 18 teams now?
Yeah.
In the Big Ten?
I'm losing count, bro. I'm losing
it's
count.
It's a big number, man. It's like 18
teams. Let me know when they get to 20. When they get to 20, then I'm ready.
Yes, but Oregon, the Oregon Ducks and the Washington Huskies are joining the Big Ten. It is official. It kind of happened kind of fast, right? You kind of rumors that that was going to have these conversations. Rumors that the Pac-12 was basically like kind of giving up. And then the Big Ten kind of jumped in and grabbed a couple of schools. So I'm sure it was more to it than that. But on our ears, it's kind of happened like in a span of a week. Rumors, maybe this is happening, then boom, it's official that it's taking place. We haven't heard. So it was kind of interesting. We haven't really heard exactly when they would start, but you would think in the 2024 season they'll be there when USC and UCLA join the conference.
Yep.
Things will have to get jumped around. They already dropped 24 and 25 the schedules of who team was going to play. So it's going to switch that up a little bit, I guess. I don't know.
You got to reshuffle the deck. You know, let the Rutgers and the Maryland travel to Oregon and Washington and you know that. But see, this is what's interesting to me in all of this. One, I think the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 or whatever they were, they fumbled. They fumbled this whole situation really, really badly. And they had opportunity to try to get better TV deals and stuff. They got the whole state pretty much of California. They have the whole state of California. It's the biggest state in the U.S., right? The whole state of California.
Wow.
Yeah. But they got the whole state of California. And it's interesting to me, like, you know, all these big TV markets. You go out to Cali, you go East Coast, all these big TV markets. None of the conferences that have most of those teams are able to really keep those teams. Like it's the South and the Midwest, Southeastern Conference in the Midwest, Big Ten. But it shows the passion for football in those areas, really. Mm-hmm. That has, you know, driven the focus in those areas. And now the Big Ten is spanned across the entire U.S. outside of the Southeast, mm-hmm. right? And I think the pickups of Oregon. When UCLA and USC did their thing, and then Colorado decided to go to the Big 12, I tweeted out, Oregon's on the clock, right? There's no reason for Oregon to continue to waste their time in the Pac, whatever, at that point, what it became, the Pac 7 or 8, I don't know. And then the Washington move is just another, you know, relatively major market out there, mm-hmm. Seattle, Washington. So, you know, the Big Ten is growing, and at the end of the day, it's all about the money. And the money comes down to it's two big dogs. It's the SEC and it's the Big Ten.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be fun. I think it's obviously Oregon's been very competitive. I mean, last time they came to OSU, it looked like it was possibly their home. I mean, they really took it to us. So we get to play them a little bit more often. So we kind of get that payback a little, you know, we should get that payback there. But then Washington obviously is a program that's kind of usually on the up and down, right?
Yeah.
But right now they definitely have some talent there. They definitely have a coach that cares and basically is trying to excel with that program. And also we just look where they're located at on the map. Just looking at the map, you know, it's kind of their area up there. You know, you're talking about the Northwest. It's really just them. I mean, Washington State, obviously they have a team, but usually Washington is usually the more competitive team there. So, you know, it's, you know, kudos to the Big Ten. I mean, it's not going nowhere.
What I'm interested in is because they negotiated this new TV deal with the USC and UCLA expected move. Do they go back to the table and say, now we got Oregon and Washington because now we got two more teams that we have to split this money up with. And I just would assume that those two more teams bring a lot more viewership and a lot more opportunity to expand that deal. And the other school, which I don't know if it's even realistic that they can get out of the ACC deal, Florida State publicly has come out and said they want more money, they want better TV deals, they want a higher split or something, and they pretty much said it's inevitable that we're trying to get out. Yeah. Now, they can't get out because of the contract, but they put it out there publicly that, you know, it's not if, is when. So it's just kind of crazy how things are changing in college football. We're not really going to recognize what it is here in the next few years for
yeah, that's for sure. Definitely the conferences and the teams that we grew up watching and playing and some of those traditions is just like just out the window, and it's time for a new era of college football to kind of ring in, and it would be good. I know, I mean, when it comes down to it, people support their school. You might be upset today, but on Saturday when they start playing, you're going to support your school. So, I mean, you know, much to talk about, much to do. Big Ten is here to stay. That's for sure.
But on Saturday when Oregon shows up in the shoe, we going to be there.
We're going to be there.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
And yeah, like I said, we owe them one. But man, yeah, but that's it, man. The camp has started. Football is here. It's back. The 23 season has officially kicked off on the field. Not just, you know, what we're saying. It has kicked off on the field. And we're going to be bringing you all the news on the competition, on what's going on who's standing out, who's not. Knock on wood, there's going to be injuries. You know, what's going on in that situation? This football, someone's going to get hurt. But, you know, you tune in to Believe in Buckeyes. We're going to have it for you. We're going to give you our perspective as former players. And it's going to be a fun season. So, as always, we'd like to shout out our sponsors, Bet Online. And we always end our show with a nice big OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks, baby. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browney and Chimdi Chekwa. See you next
time. Go Bucks.
Let's go. Run it back.
That was cool. I'm going to do.